When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hit a 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And yeah, gotta pour up a big shot for this guy, Sean Manaea. I remember when he was in Oakland A, I wanted the Yankees to trade for him. And the Yankees ended up trading for Frankie Montas. Anyway, back-to-back starts. Just a masterclass. In his last two starts, he goes 14 innings, gives up nothing, zero, no runs, 21 strikeouts. Today, this guy goes 7 innings, 6 hits, nada, gives up nothing, strikes out 10. You know, on top of the 11 he had last time out, what do you have, a 2-hitter last time out, 1-hitter last time? This is a southpaw guy. He is coming on right now. He is helping Mets fans dream of the postseason. Okay, Quintana kind of blew it his last time out, Severino, whatever. This guy is putting together some good starts and making you think about, hey, I'd give him the ball in October. I know we got a long ways to go, but he's in some good company. I saw a tweet from at JMB9191 that said, Sean Manaea joins Tom Seaver and Dwight Gooden as the only pitchers in Mets history with 7-plus innings and 10-plus Ks and no runs allowed in consecutive starts. Also, happy birthday to his mom. It was his mom's birthday. I saw SNY posted that he didn't know there was a birthday message for him or for his mom on the scoreboard and that it wasn't from him, and he thanked Talat for it. I'm like, that's great. That's nice. You know, went out there and did it for mom. And he had every excuse with this one random makeup game in St. Louis to not have a good day, but instead he held it down. He kept it to zero. Stanek comes in. Diaz comes in. That's all she wrote. All right, 888-808-1019. Let's roll through these calls. Open mic time on The Fan. It's not what I want to talk about. It's what you want to talk about. Ernie is in Mohegan Lake. What's up, Ernie? You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man? It's your DAX supporter who has spoken to you before. And there's a couple of things I want to say. One is, I am taking the plunge, and I'm taking my son to go see the Cowboys this year.
At Giant Stadium, at MetLife Stadium?
Nope. AT&T.
Oh, you're going out to Jerry game, World. Okay.
His first game's got to be home, I think. You know, like you said, like, you know, you live 20 minutes away from MetLife, so, you know, your kid could probably go there. You know, for me, that's the home team, you know, that's where they play, so I got to take them there.
It's amazing. So, I mean, if you can get the tour, get the tour. If not, just get there early and walk around. I always say it's a football spaceship that they just dropped out there in Arlington. I mean, Jerry World is incredible. Any kid would love it. The team store is great. The history that they show you in there is great. So I'm sure your son will enjoy it.
Yeah,
I've been too.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen them win there yet, but hopefully he's the lucky charm, you know. He loves Micah, so, you know, and I'm hearing you say that you're trying not to have your son be a Cowboys fan, but he's already in it. He watches the games with me. He studies them. So I think I won't stop my son.
I also said that to my wife. My wife's like, what if he wants to be like you? What if he wants to be a Cowboys fan like you? I won't stop him, but I will open up the options for him. I won't stop him, though, if he's like, I want to root for who you want to root for. I'm like, all right, well, it's not even that I want to root for him, but I'm just not changing my NFL team.
You know, it's amazing. You know, they watch what you do. You know, like, I love Dak, so he likes Dak, too, because I like Dak. But, you know, his favorite is Micah. But, so that's that. So I did want to, you know, you were talking to Pamela, I think, when I was on hold. And I do want to thank you because you gave Dak a little bit more credit this time than the last time I spoke to you. But I think, you know, the deal with him was Jerry gave Zeke the contract at the time when it's it should have been Dak.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot cheaper. And, you know, we might have been in a different boat, right now.
Absolutely. It was 2 years before Zeke was due for a new contract, but Zeke went to Cabo to hold out, forced his hand, and he gave just a ridiculous six-year, $90 million contract to a running back who got old very fast after that.
Yeah. But, what else was I going to say about that?
But Dak had an MVP season last year. And I mean, off the field, I can't say enough about the guy. I can't say enough about what he's been through and what he's overcome in his life. But, I mean, I have been disappointed with his playoff performances, and I do feel like this is it. This is the last dance. This is the last hurrah. And they should move on. He should move on. He should go somewhere else.
You're right. You know, he should go somewhere where he's liked, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, last year, you know, that play of loss was all about the defense, I think.
Yeah, it's on Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach.
Whose team, you know, lost it with the, you know, when he was in the Falcons Super Bowl. Like, they crumbled. The defense crumbled. And then you're asking Dak. Yeah, I mean, he was MVP, but it was too much to ask. And, you know, I don't think they're going to pay him. The only way they're going to pay him is if they win the Super Bowl or they get to the conference championship, you know.
I don't see them getting to either. Thanks for the call, Ernie. Yeah, I mean, 888-808-1019. I mean, you can't stop kids from being kids. You can't stop your son from wanting to be like you. I mean, I see the little things that my son does now, and it's adorable. Like, if I sneeze, he imitates my sneeze. If I clear my throat, he clears his throat. If I'm eating, he's looking at me like, why are you eating and I'm not eating? You know, like, if I'm snacking, he needs to be snacking. If I'm, watching something on TV... No, he just wants to watch Elmo. He doesn't want to watch sports yet. But, you know, if he does want to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, let's say in 4 years, if the Dallas Cowboys have a different quarterback and they're winning and there's less Jerry Jones being in the forefront and they do somehow get back to a championship in a football, a Super Bowl, of course, I'm not going to tell my son, no, you can't. But I'm going to open it up to, like, some local teams and some other options of teams and some other franchises. And I'm like, hey, you might be better off going this way. Don't choose the path that I chose. Let's go to Darian in the Bronx. What's up, Darian? You're on the Fan. Hello.
Hello, Keith?
Yeah, you're on.
Hello? Hey, Keith, first-time caller.
Nice.
I'm just so happy to hear that that your son is a Yankee fan. My first Yankee game, I was 3 years old, and my mom took me in 96 when they won the World Series.
And, I mean, that's a great year to go. And, I mean, at three, you probably couldn't remember it, but there might have been some pictures.
I couldn't remember it, but I've been watching, keeping up with every game this year because I want to relive it again.
Yeah.
But I actually met Derek Jeter when I was 4 years old. My grandfather, my grandparents, they live right across the street from the old stadium. And, hold on, out of breath here. me and my mom, we were looking out the window. We see this group of people standing outside. We ran across the street, and it turned out it was a sign for the team. And I actually ran up to Derek Jeter with one Derek Jeter rookie card signed for my mom. And I was like, sign this.
And he did.
Yeah.
And that makes you a fan for life. And then you can't.
We have it laminated. I actually have a small glove of most of the 96 team and everything. But yeah, I really want to relive that moment this year. And I really hope they go through.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for making your first call. I appreciate you guys that listen to the station and decide now's the time. With Keith on, whatever Keith's talking about, that's going to be my first call. 888-808-1019. We're now talking about fandom and becoming a fan. And, man, those early moments as a kid is where it starts. You have grown men calling this station to fight and argue because when they were kids, they latched on to a team or a player or a sport, and it never left them. Dan is in Middletown, New Jersey, next up on The Fan in New York.
Keith, how are you?
I'm good. Another 5-hour cam, you know.
Yeah, I'm just driving home from my play-by-play internship right now. So it's nice that I didn't have to miss the Yankee game tonight.
Yeah, so where are you interning?
It's the Jersey Shore Basketball League. It's a summer basketball league. J-Rob, Justin Robinson.
Oh,
plays
yeah.
It.
My chiropractor, yeah. Dr. Bill. I got to actually hit up Dr. Bill. I know he's sleeping right now, but he works with that league. I believe.
Or New Jersey?
Yeah, yeah. His practice is up in Saddlebrook, and I believe I talked to him about that league and him working with the players. I actually got I just put a note to check out, see if he's got any availability. But go on.
So I was just up there, and I heard the previous caller talking about being a fan and everything. And I remember being like 6 years old, and my uncle and my grandfather, my dad, my other grandfather, we all went to Fenway to watch Yankees Red Sox. And I remember like seeing the first pitch, I get up in Fenway and start going in the middle of the Fenway bleachers, "Let's go Yankees, let's go Yankees." And the Boston fans behind me going, "You're lucky we're out of it."
Or they would have thrown some at you.
Yeah, I mean, but that 6-year-old me being latched on because of my dad and my grandfather, and it feels like that legacy has been passed down to me. So with one of my grandfathers passed on at this point, it means a lot to me to carry on his legacy as a fan.
Yeah.
So not seeing them win usually destroys me, especially when it gets to October, which is usually difficult. But they really do mean a lot to me. And the one guy that I think stands out more than other, because people have Derek Jeter. I'm sure Derek Jeter was your favorite player. But for me, Aaron Judge is just such a special player and has continued the lineage of a dynasty of Yankee greats. I think he might be the greatest right-handed hitter of all time.
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to say a bad word about that guy. I'm right there with you. And yeah, man, that's a great story. Thanks for that, Dan. That's kind of what I'm doing here with my kid. And I hope my son likes baseball. I think he's gonna. But like, I have the opportunity now to put baseball and the Yankees in our relationship. And that father-son bond, you know, that I didn't have growing up, I get to be the father now that, like, you know, I want to have a nice house. I want to have a backyard. I want to have a glove and a ball and have a catch with my son. Like, I didn't get to do that. So I want my son to have that with me. And, I mean, he's already spoiled. Like I said, his first entrance to Yankee Stadium is to get on the elevator and go up to the suites. And he'll never know what it's like to, you know, get to, maybe he will. Maybe when he's 18 or he's in college and he's got his buddies. But even then, it's just like he's not going to know what it's like to get the cheapest ticket to sit in the top or sit in the bleachers or whatever, or take the train, because he's going to have me, Lord willing. And I look forward to that. And I think it's great how many families have the Yankees or the Mets or the Giants or the Rangers or whoever it is, where it's like, oh, this was passed down. Like, my dad's a fan, my grandfather's a fan. His dad was like, no, this is what we do every season. We go to games. No, we don't just go to Yankee Stadium. We go to Fenway. And, like, my earliest memory is being with my dad and my grandfather in Fenway watching the Yankees. Like, that's awesome, you know. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Danbury, Raiden. What's up, man? You got it.
Keith, what's up?
You know.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go for it.
Awesome, man. What's up? Absolutely an honor to be able to talk to you. I know as humble as you are, it might sound funny for me to be saying it's an honor to talk to you. I know. But, you know, I listen to you all the time. It's the first time, obviously, calling you. I listen to the fan. Like, it's my job. I hear you all the time. But you really know how to bring emotions out of your callers, man. I've almost cried in the car ride listening to your shows, man. You bring up these topics and stories, and even obviously the callers also, with relation to what you bring up sometimes, just really know how to bring up the emotions of your callers, man. I love that so much about you.
Thanks. You know, as humble as I am, it still hits home when, you know, like, we're strangers, and you called and you waited on hold, and, you know, this thing is one-sided at times. I have all these nights and shows and topics and things I do to fill time, and you never know exactly how they're, you know, playing, how they're impacting, how they're making someone feel. But I know part of the job is to evoke emotion, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is. You know, like, you're supposed to make people feel things. This is a very intimate platform. A lot of folks are hearing this before they go to bed. A lot of folks are hearing this while they're at work, or they're just by themselves in the car, and it's in your ears and your head. And it can't just be all screaming about fire Brian Cashman. It can't be all screaming about trade Pete Alonso. Like, you got to make people feel something. So thank you for that.
For sure, for sure. I definitely want to talk about the Yankees. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Quickly, though, I can't get too much into football, to be honest, when it's going on right now. I'm too much into the Yankees, and I'm a Colts fan. And I love how I just overheard you saying that, you know, you're not going to force your son to be, you know, no Cowboys fan. You're going to let him choose whenever that comes. But, yeah, I'm a Colts fan. I grew up in, you know, the Bronx half my life. My dad took me to all the Yankee games. And the old Yankee Stadium, you never got to, but the nostalgia of walking through the tunnels to see the field is just an unforgettable feeling that I'll never be able to get out of my memory with the old Yankee Stadium. It's just something that the new Yankee Stadium will never be able to have. I think a lot of people probably agree with that, with the open concept that it has with the new Yankee Stadium, but the old Yankee was definitely just walking through the tunnel. And seeing the stadium is just...
I hear it all the time. I've heard it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yep. Shout out to the Colts. I just was watching them on Inside Training Camp. Anthony Richardson's going to be a beast. Mitchell, the kid that... I'm like, this kid... They're saying this kid on the depth chart, he's going to be a big factor coming out of Texas. I think the Colts, you know, they might be a little better than people think. They were this close last year to beating the Texans and flipping places with them. So who knows, you know, what Anthony Richardson's going to do if he stays healthy. Same thing with JT, Jersey guy in the backfield, and that defense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Colts, I like how we like to just stay under the radar. We always are one of those teams that nobody really talks about, and then if we're good, they end up talking about. Definitely have high hopes for them. And for the Yankees, I get how nervous you are, and I think a lot of us Yankee fans are really nervous about how we are right now. Got high hopes. Wouldn't be surprised if we can't get out of a wild card, and I wouldn't be surprised if we make the World Series, to be honest. It's just that type of year, and obviously I look forward to positivity with the Yankees, and it's an honor to talk to you again, man. Hopefully we talk soon again.
Man, I appreciate that call, Raiden. 888-808-1019. Yeah, that's the thing, too, with the Yankees. Of course I believe. I believe every year. I've been disappointed plenty of years. As of lately, every year. But I think that this is a year where it's wide open, where if they do lock in and they do hustle and they do realize it's right in front of them, like, they have the talent. They have enough. But at the same time, if they take it for granted, if they go through the motions, everybody's gunning for them as well. And we will regret this season of Aaron Judge being historic and having Juan Soto, who could potentially leave, and making a trade for Verdugo, making a trade for Jazz Chisholm, like, having these guys, Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole's not getting any younger. Stanton's not getting any younger. DJ's not getting any younger. It's right now. And it's not the Houston Astros so much standing in your way anymore. It is wide open, and the regret of this season, if it ends up being the Guardians representing the American League or the Baltimore Orioles or whatever dark horse team is a wild card team and gets hot, like, I don't know, it can't happen. They can't let it happen.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, here's the last 20 minutes or so of my show. Let's go. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM, 5-hour show. Another sprint, not a marathon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. And shout out to the people that never call. You're appreciated. 888-808-1019. I'm going to take the rest of my calls. I'm going to race home. I made a mistake. My wife texted me, you left your wraps here. I said, I know. I already talked to myself like, stupid, now you can't eat until 1 o'clock in the morning. I made, you know, a little turkey, lettuce, tomato, one with some ranch, one with honey mustard. My mom and my sister pulled up to see my son, and I was in the kitchen, like, you know, putting those together for myself to eat tonight, and then I put them in the fridge so that they would stay cool until I left. And yeah, it's not cool. I am hungry. And like, I don't order. I know everybody orders here. I've never once ordered here.
Well, now it's impossible. I mean, you have to walk
after
7 miles
time, like the night shift, like, I don't ever order. And there's only like 3 places I've ever ate around here. I'll drink water and I'll go home. Hopefully this traffic isn't more than an hour to get home, and I will eat and go right to sleep. And then I'll be back tomorrow after the Yankees game and the night after. And then Thursday I won't be here because I got to go to the David Cone golf outing, which is cool, which is cool. I got golf lessons tomorrow. Not my first ones, just more lessons because I don't know how to play. And I told David Cone this year I'm playing, but I might get bailed out because it's supposed to rain on Thursday. So
have
if it rains, I don't know, bro. I go to my golf lessons and it's the simulator and I just swing and try and like hit it as hard as I can and line it up straight. And I do that one out of every 20 swings. Like, one out of every 20 swings, I have one where I'm, like, good.
Do you have a coach?
Yeah. And, I mean, okay. He actually is, like, and I don't want to take too much time away from the calls, but he's, like, yo, you're going to be better than most people. Like, I can tell you're a former athlete.
Oh, you're an athlete, yeah.
Yeah, he's like some of these that you do hit, like, they're above something average, like tour average or players average. He's like, you're just getting started. But once you get your own clubs and consistently play, like, you're going to be better than most people. I'm like, hey, better late than never. And now with my son, I'm going to get him started early. I was listening to Moose talk about how he has his sons out there. I was listening to Beningo talk about how he should have started when he was younger. I'm like, same. So I'm going to have my son
out
there early. Oh, Rascona's kid is
he's
elite.
Like, yeah, exactly. And Greg was talking about that his daughter now is taking lessons. And yeah.
Nice to be able to
become
take...
a full-on golf station. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah,
I think Bob
who called me is like, I'm tired of hearing them talk about golf. I'm like, well, they can do that. They're number one, and there's a lot of people that like golf and play golf and want to hear those conversations. 888-808-1019. Frank is in Babylon. Frank, you're on the Fan. Frankie, my guy. Frankie. Come on, Frank.
Put him to sleep.
Yes, as soon as you start talking golf.
No, I'm just playing.
They're like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed then. Thomas in Jersey, you got it.
Oh, Mr. McPherson, I appreciate everything you say, longtime listener. I'm not sure if you remember, I told you, I'm the guy from Lexus, and I told you that the Mets weren't going to be as bad as we thought they were, and I just want to let you know that you're right. The point that you made with the general, the manager making all the moves and whatnot, smart. He didn't break the bank, and he made some savvy moves, and I think that with the mixture of the new guys and the old guys, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay.
Thomas, I mean, earlier in the season, I mean, people forget. They think I'm just a Mets hater, which is fine. I'll wear that. That'll be a part of my...
But the thing is, you're not a Mets hater. You keep it real.
I'm a baseball fan, and what I said was I think that they could win around the same amount of games as the Yankees won last year, 82, and if they win more than that, they're a wild card team. And right now, they're on that trajectory. I talked about Mendy, and I talked about his connection with the Latin players on the Yankees. And I knew that was going to play well with the players on the Mets. And then I also talked about how, you know, we thought they lost out on Craig Counsell. No, they didn't, because Stearns was able to handpick his guy, and they're in lockstep. And what you're seeing with the Mets is not a Buck Showalter and a Billy Epler where they disagree on things and they just let things happen, or even go back.
Correct.
In time to the, you know, other managers you've had, you have a president of baseball operations and a manager that are in lockstep, and they're doing little things. I said earlier, he looks like a genius today. Yeah, we're going to drop Pete to the 5 spot. We're going to call Tyrone, and Tyrone has 3 ribbies today. So, you know, they're not they're not just sitting in the passenger seat. They are actively driving this thing, but they're also not at the deadline giving up too much to sacrifice your future. I think that the Mets have a good shot at competing and being a wild card team this year.
And what I like about Mendoza, just to reiterate, with all the analytics and stuff like that, there was this one game where Severino was pitching. And he went in and spoke to Severino. The analytics would say to take him out. He trusted his gut. And Severino pitched, and they won the game.
Yeah, he's got the feel. He knows there's a heartbeat in game.
There's a pulse. You know, there's a pulse. Correct.
Yes, there's decisions that you got to make because there's a pulse in game, and I'm sure he's got to know his guys in the short amount of time where he knows who to trust. He knows who to make, you know, a quick move on, and I think that's going to bode well for you down the stretch where you're going to need every game, where it's going to come down to little decisions to steal a game here and there. It's going to be a fun race down the stretch for Mets fans that enjoy that part of baseball, right? You know, waiting for the magic number and scoreboard watching, the out-of-town scoreboard, and what do we need here and there? And I think that's where you're going to be at, because when you look at the teams around you, it's going to be a race to the finish all the way down to the last game in the regular season for who those, like, last three wild-card teams are going to be in the NL.
I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a phenomenal job. Can I get one shout-out, please?
Yes, sir. Go for it.
Thomas Roach, if you ever need any new or pre-owned car, go to Prestige Lexus. We got you.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. I thought you were going to shout out a family member or someone. He plugged himself. Shameless. I don't hate it. I might have to look you up. I might have to. Prestige. Yeah, I might have to look you up. Ramsey, New Jersey. Yeah, I might have to pull up on you. I'm going to need a new car. As my son gets older, we only got one car. We're going to have two cars because daddy can't have the car all night. Might need to go somewhere. Might need to do something. Daddy can't be at the stadium and the station and have the car and leave wifey and my son stranded, you know? Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man? Hey, real quick, I wish I could golf, too. I remember I think I called you like about a year ago. I was trying to take up lessons, too. But, man, you know, when you start up, and you know, it's kind of with golf, okay, everybody shares the same course, and you're starting up, man, and you're the complete opposite of anything near good, and you're holding everybody else up, man, it's embarrassing as hell. And me and my father, we just weren't really feeling it. We go to the driving range sometimes, cause we get our own pods, but going sharing the course with, you know, pros and people who want to golf, you know, and not have to, you know, waste time on their day, man, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, that's a good thought. You know, I kind of know when I do play, I'm not going to play in a group where people are going to be rushing me because I'm going to have to get my feet right, get my hands right. Like, I'm not just walking up and whacking the ball. So, yeah, I won't play in that group.
We did one of those practice courses real quick. You know, not to go too long. I know you got other calls. We did one of those practice courses. My uncle was, you know, somewhat of an amateur. We had a tag along, and you knew what he was doing. He was shooting us, like, dirty looks and everything. That's why I play the other old man sport in bowling, because we get our own lanes. We don't got to bother anybody else in the alley, but... Anyway, man, listen, I want to talk about a team. Speaking of my old man, listen, I kind of took it the other way. Everybody calling up about stories, you know, kind of teams being inherited and stuff. My first love ever, the New York Rangers, happened to be my father, who's a Penguins fan, had the game on, and adding on that notion, he became a Penguin fan despite his ex-girlfriend who got him into hockey, who was a New York Ranger fan. So it's kind of like an indirect connection there, kind of a zigzag. And mm-hmm. I became a New York Ranger fan carrying on the legacy there. You know, God, you know, if I ever had children, God forbid, I'd bear that on to them because I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Speaking of not wishing nothing on anybody, I'm also a Met and Viking fan. And as you may know, as recent as a couple of years ago, I'd say 2021 was the year I made the switch. When I first started calling you up, I was a Toronto Blue Jays fan. That happened because I was playing fantasy football back when the MLB had the free-to-play fantasy leagues. I don't know if you remember that. Now they got, like, DraftKings and everything.
Yeah.
You can all use ESPN. But they had their own direct site. And 7-year-old me, I think it was, 8-year-old me, I was born 07, 2015, Josh Donaldson had that MVP year.
and he won me my fantasy league at 8 years old. I said, I got to become a Jays fan, man. That's why I was advocating for John Gibbons to be our manager, wound up being our bench coach because he was a best prospect way back when. And when I was advocating for Kevin Pillar at the trade deadline because you saw the S on his chest a couple days ago. That's what his prime was like in 2015.
Yeah.
Troy Tulowitzki, David Price, those are some of the funnest teams.
Edwin Encarnacion, Joey Bats.
Jose Bautista, man. You know, Bautista would have drive deep left field. You still see it all these years later, man. And it just sucks. They couldn't get it done either year. The 1 year, I think, was Trevor Bauer had chopped up his finger with the drone.
Yeah, with the Guardians. Yep. Well, they were the Indians back then.
And that was a year before it was Kansas City. We could add a Jays-Mets World Series. So, I mean, listen, man, I still don't have a problem with him, but I think just one day I had an epiphany. We got 29 teams here in the States, and I had to go, you know, the one team over the border. I don't even have a passport myself, so even if I want to go
see
them.
Yeah, you got to go through customs to go to opening day.
The whole process, so I'll just switch over here. And I had no joke. Twitter Spaces one day, I made the switch in 21. Someone had the balls to call me a bandwagon Mets fan. I thought those were two words I'd never hear connected together. And then that same guy's a Yankee fan who only, you know, went on his way to jump on the D-backs bandwagon last year. So I never forget some of those things. Yankee fan, all of a sudden you missed the playoffs. 1 year, last 15 years, you missed two out of the last 15 years. All of a sudden he's rocking his Gattell Marte jersey. So don't even get me started with the Vikings, man. You know, I saw the circus over at East Rutherford today. You pair the Giants, Lions, two of the classiest franchises in the league. And we got, you know, Jordan Addison. You know, I know you got like 15 minutes, so I'll just leave it right there, man. But anyway, appreciate the time.
Ross in Bergen County, he can run it up. Yo, shout out to my guy, HNL Dre, at Dre underscore HNL. After Thomas, you know, plugged Prestige Lexus, he said, hey, man, those ad spots cost on Twitter. Also from Twitter, I put out, we got to include putting Caleb Ferguson on the Astros as a win at the deadline. Counts for something. Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees. And if you're paying attention to the out-of-town scoreboard, Caleb Ferguson just gave up a homer in the 10th inning for the Astros to lose to the Rangers. The Rangers walk off. They throw Caleb Ferguson out there. Color me shocked. Color me shocked. Caleb Ferguson giving up a homer.
Do you know who hit it, though?
Former Yankee farmhand.
Exactly.
Josh Smith.
Exactly. Who was sent in the Joey Gallo deal. So
universe never unconnects. It all comes back together. Trades made and lost and whatnot. But, yeah, I mentioned Josh Smith the other day because I was like, I put two and two together this year. I'm like, well, you're looking for a guy to play third base. There he is. Anyway.
Hey, he could play shortstop for the Yankees.
He was a shortstop.
I know.
And I think they put him at third because they obviously have Corey Seager. But they made, I don't know, we don't have enough time to talk about the Joey Gallo, Ezekiel Duran, who got sent over there. 888-808-1019. My guy Mo from the bleachers.
How you doing, Keith?
Good to
see you, man. Good to see you again the other night.
Yeah, of course. Hawaiian shirt things. Night.
I mean, listen, you know, after you get the car from Prestige Motors, just give me a call at Mortgage World Bankers. I'll get you a mortgage. But, while we're at it. But I couldn't help it, man. Three quick points, and I'll let you go because I know your show is wrapping up. Number one, where do you think the ideal lineup spot is for Jazz Chisholm?
I honestly thought he was coming here to lead off. I thought he was going to solve the whole game. We don't know who's going to lead off because Verdugo can't consistently be the guy, right? Gleyber Torres is not the guy. I thought he was going to be a leadoff hitter. He's got speed, left hand. I don't know. I don't think I think they looked at him like, hey, we need help in the bottom of the order. Verdugo got hot for a little bit. I think it's fluid. I think the lineup's going to keep changing. They don't want a consistent lineup. They play matchups, analytics, and depends on who's hot, who needs a rest. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to stay in the lower half of the lineup.
So, two more quick things that I know you want to wrap up. By the way, this is just for really all the listeners. On August 26th, Danny Jansen has a chance to be the first player in Major League Baseball history to play in the same game for both teams. Because he was traded from the Blue Jays to the Red Sox.
Okay.
And the game was suspended on the 26th. Not only that, I like interesting, like weird stuff like that. He was actually at the plate when the game was suspended at an 0-1 count. So he'll be actually at the plate and catching in the same at-bat.
I did not hear about this. Thanks for the heads up, Mo. You're the man. 888-808-1019. At this point, you'll be rocking with C-Mac on his midnight ride. Let me get to the rest of my callers. Nick is in North Brunswick. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, Keith? First time, long time, man. I love the conversation about the fandom and where you kind of path your family to kind of follow in your footsteps or not. My father was not the biggest sports fan, and neither was my mom, but my mom was a Jets fan, and my father was a Redskins fan. And my memories was always going to my uncle's house to watch football because he had the big TV packages. You're kind of around my age. You know how hard it was back then to kind of find your team on TV and watch them. So for my uncle to have the TV packages, he was a Broncos fan. So I always grew up going to his house. He had tattoos. I wanted to be like him. I ended up becoming a Broncos fan. So I got my first Elway jersey in like second grade. You know, it was a blast of a time. But my father never pressured me into following his favorite team, nor was he like a diehard fan. You know, just a casual, likes to watch the games. My mom was the diehard, and she never pressured me either to like the Jets. So I kind of made that decision based off of my own, you know, recollection of my childhood, going to my uncle's house. And, you know, it awarded me one of my happiest memories of all time, which is watching Peyton Manning win that Super Bowl for them in 2015. So I would say, man, let, you know, obviously guide your kids to, you know, potentially like the same sports that you did. My dad never really liked basketball that much. I ended up evolving into a Nuggets fan naturally, too, so... I mean, it's something that kind of takes its own shape, and you guys will see it. I don't have any kids myself, but, you know, I feel like I'm a good test sample for maybe not forcing it down your child's throat and maybe seeing what it does, because not only did it, you know, lead me to become the fan I am, but I ended up going to school for sports. I now work in the sports industry. So it's definitely something that shaped who I am, and it's a good conversation to have because there's a lot of fans in this city and in this tri-state area that are on both sides of the fence. And I did have a quick question for you because I've been meaning to call the station for a while and maybe pose this to somebody, but I'm not the biggest baseball fan. My baseball fandom really lied on listening to the Fan and catching John and Susan call the Yankee games, and I love that atmosphere. I love listening to the crowd noise on the radio and the slow count calls, and everything about it was just really therapeutic for me. So I kind of gravitated to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm the only one in my group chat that didn't play high school baseball. Everybody else played high school baseball. They all are Yankees and Mets fans. So it's pretty even. I found myself, you know, liking the Yankees early, but, you know, the Mets, when they made that World Series run, and now as of late, how they're having a little bit of success, I'm not really flipping my fandom because I kind of, I guess it's like forbidden to say in this town, but I like both teams. I root for both of them to do really well, and I find it enjoying when I, you know, entertaining when I see my friends go back and forth. But my question to you is, there's teams in the NFL that I'll always root for when my favorite team isn't on, like, you know, the Packers, the Bills, teams like that, that have like rich culture and history and fun fans, and they're always pretty competitive. If you were to compare something like that to the MLB, who do you think I should maybe give a chance to kind of watch some games and follow a little bit more? Who would be like, you know, the Bills or the Packers
or something like that
of the MLB?
Of Chicago, go Cubs, go fly the W, the Chicago Cubs fans. Thanks for the call, Nick. They have an awesome time up there. You mentioned you were a Denver Nuggets fan, so you also got to experience an NBA Finals run. That's crazy. Speaking of the Denver Nuggets, Ryan is in Denver. Ryan, you're on the Fan.
KM to AM.
Yes, sir.
The People's Champ.
Yep.
McNasty, how are you, my friend?
McNasty, what's up? Chuck Nasty with the Rockies out there in Denver.
McNasty. No, hey, listen, I'm from East Islip on Long Island.
Bet.
Next 3 days, Mets are out here. I haven't seen them once this season. I see them every year. I'm 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you two questions. I'll let you go. I know they've been talking your ear off. Three games in Denver next 3 days. Don't be biased as a Yankee fan. How many wins do the Mets get?
You can
My
sweep.
My next question for you. Hold on. One more question for you. I'll let you go. My next question. If the Yankees lose Soto in the offseason, who's the guy or the top three guys that you need on the team?
Oh, man, I got to go look at that. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what starting pitchers are coming available. I also haven't really processed, like, the Yankees losing Juan Soto. I don't really live in that world. I think they'd be fine as far as replacing him with, you know, Spencer Jones, Dominguez. Obviously, they're not going to be Soto. But pitching, I just look at this rotation. I'm like, you don't have enough. You don't have enough to compete in October. You just don't have enough. They need to sign a pitcher. The Rockies are a last place team that I think you can go and sweep. If guys show up and do what they're supposed to do, your pitching lines up. I think for you to go and sweep the Rockies, you almost swept them when they were in Queens, but that lineup's got to show up. And I said, the Mets lineup has to hit out there a mile high. Last call of the night goes to Dave in Bogota. What's up, Dave? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Big fan. Like the fact that you're a fellow Jersey guy, too, so that's always good.
Garden State, yes, sir.
Hell yeah. So the first thing I just wanted to say was that with regards to how outrageous the prices are now, you go to Yankee Stadium, I go to Yankee Stadium a couple times a year, and the one thing that I really miss, and I've been a Yankees fan since I was younger, I really miss the fact that the whole stadium used to just shake when they went into a rally. Now, you can't even find that. People are too busy sipping martinis and stuff like that.
Hey, if they get to the World Series, you'll feel that stadium shake in late October, early November this year. You got to have 50,000 people in there. You got to have something to yell and scream about. I've been in Yankee Stadium the last two times yelling and screaming about the amount of runs scored on the Yankees. Like, you got to give the people something to get crazy over to shake the place. The Bronx Zoo still exists. We can get there. All right, we got there to the end of my show. Coming up next, Chris McMonagle on The Fan. I'll be back tomorrow. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.